Well, Brother Brian told us last night that he was excited. I want to talk to you about something that makes me excited this morning. Felt like the Lord, after I woke up a while, seemed like the Lord started talking to me, and so I just want to share a few little thoughts with us this morning. This ordinance service is a special time. It's a time that the Lord wanted us to set aside because He wanted some very special things to be remembered. And He wanted some real special things to be in our hearts. And so I want to just read the account over here in John, the 13th chapter, of where the feet washing is, and maybe we'll just start there. You know, the Lord, it says here that this was before the feast of the Passover, and Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto the Father. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. You know, the 13th, 14th through 17 or 18, the Lord had some things right at the last, just before He was crucified, that He wanted to say. He wanted, these are my last words. These are real important. And so, right up against the last, those four chapters or so contain Jesus, His heart's desire. He left it. We read that in the 17th chapter of John. And here in the 13th chapter, He gives us something that He really wants us to have. It'll be a blessing to us. And I want to think about what Jesus here was doing and what He was trying to say to us. It says, He riseth, this is the fourth verse, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, whose job was it to wash people's feet? Surely not the Lord of glory. Surely not God's job in the flesh. But Jesus was wanting to impart something to us that would forever bless our lives. And so He took water and He poured it into a basin. And it says here that He girded Himself and with a towel, let's see, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Now, imagine some of them were pretty dirty, probably. They probably were not in quite as clean of an atmosphere as we are all the time. I don't know, but I imagine these feet were not all maybe smelling good and all of those things. But the Lord of glory wanted to tell us something. And I want to think about that tonight, this morning. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. You're going to understand, Peter. I've got something here I want to tell you. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. First lesson the Lord wanted to tell him. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. This is an integral part, Peter, of my gospel. And I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be a partaker. I want you to be part of the giving side. I want you to be the taker side. Sometimes we have to receive from one another. It's a part of humility. I remember a time when I didn't want to receive from anybody because I was always on the giving end. I didn't want to receive. I wanted to give. I love to give. You know, the Lord told Peter, He said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part in this thing. You don't understand what's going on, Peter. And so Simon Peter, of course, he wanted that. He saith unto Him, Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Do you all understand what I've done here? If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now he's starting to unfold a little something. I've done this to you. I want you to do this too. I want you to follow me in what I have just showed you. But I believe that in spite of the fact that the Lord wanted us to do this, in reality, there's a deeper meaning here that the Lord was trying to get to His disciples. One time they were arguing over who was going to be the great one. Who was going to sit on the right and the left of Jesus? And who was going to have the place in the kingdom that was most esteemed and most close to the Lord? And He let them know, I want you to be a servant. I want you to be a servant. And now just before he's dying here, just before he goes out to be crucified, he has one more bold lesson open. He wants them to remember this. He says, I want you to do this, in fact, because this is something integral. It's something in the center of my gospel that I want you to remember. And he says here, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. What is an example? What is an example? Is it not? I know in math, when you work the Saxon math book that we use at home, it'll have a page or two of examples before you work your problems. And it shows you how to work the problems. And here's how you work through this kind of a problem. And then it gives you problems to work. But first, you've had an example so you can understand how it's done. And Jesus said, I have given you an example. I've showed you how it's done. I've lived before you. And here now, at the last, I'm giving you one. I want you to remember this. Don't you forget. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I want us to remember that little saying of Jesus, because what he said there is full of meaning. He said, if you know these things, if you're aware of these things, happy are you if you do them. I want us to think a little bit this morning about the deeper meaning that Jesus wanted us to remember when we did this. You know, he said here, happy are you if you do them. I really believe, my dear brethren, I know many of us, I know a number of us here are servants to people. You know, I don't believe there's a more fulfilled life than a life that's truly a servant to others. Than a life that truly ministers to other people. We will be a servant. I promise you, you will be a servant. You'll either be a servant to yourself, to the flesh, the devil, or you'll be a servant to the Lord and to others. And I want to challenge us this morning that the Lord left us an idea here. He left us an example. And He told us here, happy are you if you do these things. Now, I know He was speaking of the feet washing. But you know what? There is a principle there that when we take upon us the ways of the Lord, and when we take upon us a life of a servant, there is no higher calling than that. There is no higher place to rise to than to serve and help people continually. Do you know the kind of happiness that brings to us? Do you know the kind of satisfaction that it brings when the work is done, the sweating, the tears are over, and you've helped someone and they love you in return for it? You know what? There's something very precious there that money cannot buy, fame cannot buy, places that we go cannot buy. It's called an inner satisfaction. And the Lord says, happy are you. He calls it happiness. This morning, I just want to share a few little thoughts now about a life of service. I believe if as young people, young folks, I want to challenge you today to set in your mind some ideals for your life, because you are doing that. Some people, their ideal for life is a career that takes them to great places, whether it's money or fame or whatever. It's people have in their minds some things. You know, today, when I was young, and I thank God for it, there were some examples in my life. When I didn't know anything of it after I was 18 years old. But I began to come around the saints and I began to see some of these examples. People that lived this way. My wife's parents, the Huskies, I saw their life. I saw their life of service. I saw the burning of burden for others that I knew nothing of. I saw an example that I wanted to be like. I saw a life that I wanted to emulate. And I saw others that lived that way. And I decided back then, because my in-laws, or my parents, if you want to call them that, I love them dearly. They've been very dear to me. I haven't had what you call in-law problems. They've been wonderful to us. But you know what? They took care to cause us to understand what the life of a servant was. And I determined back then, I want to be a servant to man. There's some poems. There's a story about the man by the side of the road. And I want to, if you've never heard of that, I'm going to encourage you today to find that and read that story. It's very touching and moving. And it puts within your heart a desire and a value on the life of service and what it can mean. The man, I don't remember the name of it. Robert Frost wrote it. What's the name of it? A Friend by the Side of the Road or something like that? I want to tell you, it's worth it. I read it to my family probably, ever so often we read it. I read it to myself. I love the story. Folks, there's something deeper and better that brings happiness. You want to feel fulfilled in life? Take the life of a servant. You want to feel people's love to you? Oh, sometimes they'll kick you. But most of the time, when you give people love, you feel love back. You know what? You want to feel a satisfaction. You want to feel the streams of blessings from the Father upon your life? This is part of it. It's not all of it. It's part of it. And the Lord gave us an example by His life. He lived that way. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, it says. That was His life. The Lord went around doing that. And then at the last, here's the first thing, I believe it is, that He does in that last little bit of time there where He's imparting His heart to people. Because, see, it's not just people that are blessed by our life. It's a whole circle that is completed that blesses us too and those around us. And so this morning I just want to challenge us. A life that is given to the Lord is a life that is greatly worthwhile and a happy life as well. Does it require sacrifice? That it does. Does it pay higher dividends than you can make otherwise? That it does. And I thank God for it today. I'm so glad I had some examples in my life to tell me about these things, because I knew nothing of it. I knew nothing of it. I thought I knew the doctrines. I thought I knew a lot of things. But I knew nothing of many of the deeper things of the Lord. But I had some examples that began to show me. Thank the Lord this morning. In 1 Corinthians 16, we have an abundance of examples in the Bible. But 1 Corinthians 16 and 15, it says here, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Here these people, Paul said, they have addicted themselves. I thought it was bad to be addicted. There's some things it's good to be addicted to. And these people were addicted. It had a hold on them. They wanted to serve. They got a vision of it. They realized the worth of it and the value of it. And they began to serve. And he said that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. You know what? You can be this kind of person. And the Lord left us an example that we would be this kind of person. I see people all the time, and I hear their sobs, and I sorrow with them. But many times, I do tell them this, but many times I'm thinking, if they would get up and go start serving some other people, their life would change. That depression would start getting left behind. The things that are troubling them many times would trail behind them. Because it's all part of God's plan. It's part of His way. You know, the Scripture says, I'm trying not to be too lengthy here, but I want to read just a few places. Galatians 6 and 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. It's full in the Scriptures. It's all through the Scriptures. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Verse 9 before it says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season, when the season comes, we shall reap if we faint not. I want us to remember that this morning. It is not always easy to serve. Sometimes it is like a garden. It is like a garden. There's work to it. But I will tell you what, Kelsey sent me a picture of our little garden. We don't have a big garden, but we have a garden. And she showed me a picture of a basket, a little small bucket full of green beans and flowing over and tomatoes around it and stuff. And she said, I think we're turning into farmers or something like that. You know what? There was some work that went in first. But when you start reaping, it is so fun. Can I say that? It is so fun. It is so enjoyable to walk out the back door and see 50 tomatoes hanging there, ripening. A few of them may be ripe. And you pick them, and they taste good. Our life is like that, folks. Our life is like that. When we plant, when we give of ourselves, I will tell you, there is a harvest that comes. And the Scripture here says, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't faint, we're going to reap something. If we don't let the weeds just take over and don't water it, if we do that kind of thing, yeah, we won't reap. But if we'll be diligent, there'll come a reaping in our life. I want to tell you one of the things that I have received from being a servant. I remember years ago, and I'm not going to say I'm the greatest one at visiting now, but when I first started, I just was so uncomfortable many times. Many times, part of the work of the Lord is visiting people. It's going and helping people. They have an issue, a problem. They have something needs fixed. They have something we can do. We don't have to be very smart or very have very much to help somebody. We just need a little time and take that time. And you know, and people will love you for that. But this brother had fallen back again. And I found out he was And he would fall back and go to smoking again. That was his thing. He would just have trouble with this issue. And you know, I've never smoked or even seriously been tempted to smoke. I didn't want to smoke. But you know, this brother was kept having this problem. And so sometimes it was like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But you know, I went out and visited him. And what I found was that if you'll break through that, there's a stream from heaven. The oil of anointing that comes on our life that begins to make things like that precious to you and to them too. The Lord does that. But I'll tell you what I got from that experience. I went home and slept that night, and I had a dream. And I dreamed that I was smoking. And I dreamed that I was hiding it. And that here I was doing this evil thing. And I woke up, and I was just like, what is wrong? How could I even dream such a thing? First thing, smoking, and then hiding it. You know what I received there? I don't know if it was the angels or what, but there was a scene that I heard that morning. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man named Jesus, then my soul would forever be lost. And the Lord began to reveal something to me. When you become workers together with the Lord, and you center your life up in His will and ways, He begins to reveal things to you. I never had compassion in that way, I suppose, before that. You know, it woke me up to something. Instead of seeing him and thinking, how despicable, what is he doing smoking again? You know, I began to realize if it wasn't for the Lord, I might be in the same place. God wants to reveal a lot of things to us, folks. A lot of times it comes when we are in his service. And when we are doing his will, he begins to teach us. There was many things I didn't understand about many. There was a lot of things that I had questions here and there. And I'm not saying I still have some questions. But, you know, there was a Bible study uptown. Brother Hiram Ray, an old brother. He was in a care home, an assisted living center. And he was there and he got to where he was going to be moved from there. Well, he had been having a Bible study. And so he called others. I wasn't the first call he made. But he called me and he said, would you come up and take this Bible study for me? Well, that was the last thing I had more time for in my life. I was like, I'm afraid to do that. If I do that one time, I'm liable to get stuck doing it. And I didn't want to do that. But you know what? I felt like I needed to do it for some reason. And we went up and started having, and we had a Bible study with them. I didn't feel sufficient. These are all people of all different religions. They're way older than me. And they're already set in their ways. But you know what? For 6 years, the Lord worked. And we went through one book after another. We started in Galatians, where Brother Hiram left off. And we went through, I didn't go through Revelations with him, but we went through Jude. We started back in the Gospels. And you know what I found? I found truths revealed to me as the Lord was revealing them to them. Many truths. I found that the truth that we teach is contained in these pages. You read it word by word. You study it. You'll find it. You know, this morning, it is in many times us doing the will of God where He begins to work with us. And He makes us fit vessels for heaven. Young folks, I want to challenge you today, and all of us, Take up your cross and follow the Lord. Don't live a mediocre life. A lot of people are saying, you meet them at the altar. Well, have you been, I don't have much worship. I mean, they'll say it in other words, maybe. But you find those things, folks, when we take God's way, it makes us hungry. It makes us dig. It makes the anointing, the oil from heaven flow into our life and our heart. God wants to give that to us today. And so this morning, I want to challenge us. I know we're probably getting late already, but I want to just say a few other things. In Philippians 2 and 5 to 7, it says here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." And we can't get any higher than Jesus was. "But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." We're not going to go very high here, folks. But we can be a servant. We can have the anointing oil of God upon our life. We can have the joys of heaven come down from time to time in our heart. The Lord wants to give us many blessings of joy and of peace. And I appreciate the many times the Lord has visited us. "But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." You know, it takes a humbling of ourselves. But I want to challenge you today. I saw some people go before me. I remember Bob Salee. He was one, even before he died, he was one that challenged my life. I saw something there, and he began to tell me about how that he was in Louisiana. I remember his testimony one time to me personally. We were just talking. And he told me about how that he had a good job in Louisiana and how that he left that. And he had savings in the bank. And he went to work at the print shop. And he began to have to use his savings up. And he said he used it all up. But you know what he found was the oil never quit. Then the Lord just began to supply. And he had pretty much a new home. And he had all the necessaries of life. He didn't have the finest of everything. But I believe he did have the finest. I want to challenge us today. John 20 and 21 says, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." You know, the Lord wants to send us. He wants to send us not only in holiness, but as a servant to other people. I quoted the verse where they said in Acts 10 and 38, Jesus, it says, "who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." I want to mention one more place, and then we'll drop back for just a minute to John. But in Matthew, the 25th chapter, folks, there are three scenarios of the judgment scene there. The first one we find there is, when we think of the judgment, we think of being ready, making sure we're spotless, and we should. And the first scenario there says that he shall liken the kingdom of heaven unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And if you look on down then in verse 13, he said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And he gives us the story of the 5 foolish and the 5 wise virgins. And how that some kept that in their heart. That's necessary. And then he goes on starting at 14 and says, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." And so we find there that he gives responsibilities, doesn't he? And he expects us to do those things. And he says all of this is at the judgment scene. And he weighs us in. Where have we been? And then the third one we read about in, Matthew 25 and 34. I just want to read a little bit there. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Folks, I want to leave us with that challenge this morning. The Lord said, As much as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. I want to challenge us this morning that we see a higher life and that we see something that's better than giving ourselves to the things of this world. Open your life and ask God, Lord, what can I do? Where can I? You know, we can't do everything, but the things that come along in our path, we can do. The things that come to our doorstep, we can take care of. And I just want to give us this little word this morning. Give yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to it. And don't allow yourself to be dissuaded from a life of great meaning and value. Just recapping three verses here in John 13. It says, verse 14, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. All this morning, as we wash feet, we are symbolizing humbling ourselves to do the lowest menial task. Whatever needs to be done. It don't get much lower than washing dirty feet. Stinky feet sometimes. It don't get much lower than that. And the Lord said, I want you to remember this. I want, as often as you do these things, He said that was about the Lord's Supper. But we remember the things God has given to us. Amen.